All right, let's unpack this. We've got a stack of source material right here, and it all points to something pretty transformative for your marketing. Email, it's still like king for ROI.
Yeah, the numbers are kind of staggering. The one that keeps jumping out from these sources. $36 back for every single dollar you spent. It's huge.
Incredible potential, yeah.
Yeah.
But what this material keeps hammering home is that, look, just sending the email, that's not cutting it anymore.
Exactly. So many campaigns just fizzle out.
Yeah.
And often it's not even about bad content, it's that the email never actually got seen.
Right. Which brings us to the core topic here, email deliverability. So our mission in this deep dive, take all this research and really boil it down. What are the key strategies, the, technical must-haves, the best practices you absolutely need to know for 2025, just to make sure your emails actually land?
And the first thing, which these sources are super clear on, is getting the terms right. There's email delivery,
Okay.
and then there's email deliverability. They sound similar, but they're really different beasts.
So delivery is the server accepted it, like the post office taking your letter.
Pretty much, yeah. They received it, check. But deliverability, that's the crucial
But
part.
that's whether it actually gets put in the mailbox, right?
Well,
Not tossed in the bin or returned.
exactly. For email, does it hit the inbox or does it just get dumped straight into spam or junk?
Yeah.
That's deliverability.
And if that's poor, you're basically invisible.
You've lost before you even start. Doesn't matter how great your subject line is, your copy, your offer. It's like it never existed. It's the silent killer of that amazing ROI we mentioned.
So, okay, beyond just the frustration, what are the real tangible impacts for you, the listener? What do these sources highlight as the
Oh,
stakes?
the stakes are definitely high. It hits your bottom line directly. Emails not landing means engagement tanks, your opens, your clicks. They just plummet.
Makes sense.
And it seriously damages your brand reputation. If you keep sending to bad addresses or people keep hitting spam, ISPs see you as, well, dodgy.
And that leads to flagging,
Yeah.
blacklisting.
Yep. Your domain or IP address can get flagged, even blacklisted, which is a nightmare to recover from.
And the sources also connect this to legal stuff, which honestly I found pretty striking.
Absolutely. Things like canned spam, GDPR, CASL. Ignoring those isn't just risking huge fines, though that's bad enough. It's a massive red flag for email providers. Non-compliance basically screams risky sender, and boom, your deliverability suffers immediately.
So it's not just a legal checkbox, it's actually a technical signal they pick up on.
Precisely. But flip that around. The upside of getting this right is huge.
Right.
Improving deliverability doesn't just fix problems. It actively boosts your campaign ROI. It builds trust. People expect to get your emails. Your sender credibility goes up. Everything performs better.
It sounds like it's the absolute foundation, the gatekeeper, maybe.
That's a great way to put it. It really is the gatekeeper for your whole email strategy. And what the sources then lay out are the key things influencing whether that gatekeeper lets you in.
Okay, let's dig into those factors then. First up seems to be sender reputation.
Yeah, this is basically your trust score with the big ISPs, Gmail, Outlook, Yahoo, you name it. It's built on your history.
History-like.
Like how much people engage with your emails, how many mark them as spam, your bounce rates, even how much you send, and how consistently. A good rep is gold.
And tied right into that is email authentication. The sources seem to say this is totally non-negotiable now.
It really is. This is the tech side of proving you're legit. SPF, DKIM, DMRC. These protocols tell receiving servers, hey, this email actually came from who it says it came from.
And it hasn't been messed with.
Exactly. Without them set up correctly, a lot of servers will just bin your email or at least look at it very suspiciously.
What about the email itself, the actual content and formatting? Does that matter?
Oh, absolutely. Spam filters are smart. They analyze the content, the layout, the image to text ratio, certain words, even hidden stuff in the code.
So, like trigger words.
Yeah, trigger words are a big one, but also just, a poorly built email can raise flags even if the message itself is fine.
Okay, and this next one feels like a really direct feedback loop. Subscriber engagement.
Totally critical. How your subscribers interact is a direct message to the ISPs. Opens, clicks, replies that boosts your reputation.
And deletes or spam complaints?
Those actively
Yeah,
hurt it.
no.
More engagement equals better inbox placement. It's pretty simple, really.
Which logically leads straight to email list quality, right? You can't get engagement from a list full of junk.
Exactly. The sources are unanimous on this. Size isn't everything. Old lists, unverified lists, and especially purchased lists, they're just toxic.
Why toxic?
They're full of invalid addresses that bounce, spam traps, which are designed to catch bad senders, and just generally unengaged people who drag down your stats. Bad news all around.
Got it. And the last factor mentioned is sending behavior. How and when you send.
Right. Sudden huge blasts of emails, especially to cold lists, look suspicious. Inconsistent sending volumes, also a flag. Building a steady, predictable sending pattern helps build trust with ISPs.
Okay, so we know the factors, we know why it matters. Now, the how. What are the key best practices these sources recommend for actually improving deliverability?
Well, the first step they all point to is pretty fundamental. Use a reputable email service provider, an ESP.
Like MailChimp, Klaviyo, those guys.
Exactly. MailChimp, Klaviyo, ActiveCampaign, SendGrid. The sources mentioned several. Trying to manage all this infrastructure yourself is incredibly hard. These providers have the systems, the relationships with ISPs, the built-in tools for reputation, bounces, blacklist monitoring.
They've done a lot of the heavy lifting already.
Pretty much, yeah. It's their business to navigate this.
Okay, that makes sense. What about if you're using a dedicated IP address, maybe a new one?
Then warming up your IP address is absolutely essential. You can't just fire it up and send thousands of emails day one.
How does that work, the warm-up?
The sources describe it as a gradual process. You start sending really small volumes, maybe just to your most engaged subscribers first.
Okay.
Then, over several weeks, you slowly increase the volume, monitoring your results closely. This slow ramp-up lets ISPs see good, consistent engagement from your new IP, building trust over time.
And segmentation. The sources seem to frame this not just as a marketing tactic, but key for deliverability, too.
It's absolutely both. Segmenting your email list is crucial. Sending targeted messages based on, say, demographics, past purchases, how engaged someone is.
Means they're more likely to open and click.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which, as we said, sends those positive signals to ISPs. It directly improves your deliverability metrics. So yeah, avoid those huge batch and blast sends to everyone.
Which flows nicely into personalizing content. And this is more than just using their first name.
Or... much more.
Yeah.
The sources talk about dynamic content, using behavioral triggers, like showing products based on what someone browsed, or sending cart abandonment emails.
Making it relevant.
Super relevant and timely. That relevance drives the opens and clicks that filters look for. It shows you're sending wanted mail.
And then there's the bit that maybe feels a bit painful, cleaning your list.
Yeah, removing inactive subscribers. It sounds counterintuitive, maybe shrinking your list size.
Right.
But keeping subscribers who haven't opened your emails in, say, 6 months, maybe 12, the sources give ranges, it drags down your overall engagement rate.
And makes you look riskier to ISPs.
Precisely. So you got to audit your list regularly. Either remove those inactives or maybe try a specific re-engagement campaign first. But don't just let them sit there. A smaller, highly engaged list, always better for deliverability.
Okay. Strategy, list management. Check. But the sources really stress the technical foundation. Non-negotiable. What are the absolute must-dos there?
Right. This is where we get into SPF, DKIM, and DMARCs. These authentication protocols, they're basically table stakes now if you're serious about email.
Okay, let's break them down. SPF.
SPF Sender Policy Framework. Think of it like publishing a list of authorized senders for your domain. You put a record in your DNS saying, only these IP addresses are allowed to send email for mydomain.com.
So receiving servers, check that list.
Yep. They get an email claiming to be from you. They check the sending IP against your SPF record. If it's not on the list, red flag.
Okay. SPF says who can send. What about DKIM?
DKIM domain keys identified mail. This adds a digital signature to every email. It's like a tamper-proof seal.
How does that work?
It uses a private key linked to your domain to create the signature. Receiving servers use your public key, also published in DNS, to verify it. This proves the email hasn't been altered in transit, and it really came from your domain. It's about integrity and origin.
Got it. Signature verified. And DMRC puts it all together.
Exactly. DMRC, domain-based message authentication, reporting, and conformance. It leverages SPF and DKIM. First, it tells receiving servers what you want them to do if an email fails those SPF or DKIM checks.
Like reject it or put it in spam.
Right. Reject, quarantine, spam folder, or just monitor. You set the policy.
Mm-hmm.
And crucially, DMRC provides reports back to you. Yeah, showing how many emails are passing or failing authentication checks. And from where? It's invaluable for seeing if someone's spoofing you or if you have configuration issues.
Okay. SPF, DMRC, the big three. Any other technical bits?
The sources also mentioned using a custom domain and reverse DNS. Always send from a domain you control that matches your brand. Don't use free email addresses like Gmail.
Right.
And your sending IP should have a reverse DNS record that points back to that sending domain. Any mismatch looks sketchy. And finally, T TLS encryption.
For security.
Security in transit, yeah. It encrypts the email as it travels between servers. It's expected now and shows you take security seriously, which also helps build trust.
Let's circle back to List Health again because it seems so central. Why is email list hygiene and subscriber management just fundamental?
Because a dirty list is like kryptonite for your sender reputation. It guarantees high bounces, rock-bottom engagement, and loads of spam complaints. Those are the things that get you blocked.
And how you get subscribers matters hugely, according to these sources.
They strongly, strongly recommend double opt-in. Single opt-in might seem easier up front.
Just tick a box and they're on the list.
Right. But double opt-in, where they have to click a confirmation link in an email first, does so much more. It cuts down typos, stops bots, confirms the address is real and monitored, and proves they really want your emails.
Leading to better engagement down the line?
Much better engagement, fewer complaints. It's worth the extra step.
And using those verification tools you mentioned earlier.
Well, yeah, validate emails. Tools like Zero Bounce, Bright Verify, Never Bounce the Sources, name a few. You run your list through them before sending.
What do they catch?
Invalid addresses, known complainers, risky addresses, potential spam traps. It cleans out the junk before it can hurt your reputation. Essential maintenance.
Okay, what about letting people leave? It feels weird to focus on making unsubscribing easy, but the sources insist.
It's critical. Make unsubscribing easy. Think about it. If someone wants out and they can't find that link easily, what do?
Hit the spam button.
Exactly. And that spam complaint is way more damaging to your reputation than a simple unsubscribe. So every single email needs a clear, visible, one-click unsubscribe link. It's legally required in most places anyway, but it's also just smart deliverability practice.
Protects your rep.
Okay.
And managing bounces.
Got to monitor hard and soft bounces. A hard bounce means the address is permanently bad, maybe it never existed, or the domain is gone. Remove those immediately.
Immediately. No second chances.
Nope. Soft bounces are temporary, like a full inbox or a server issue. You watch those.
Yeah.
If an address keeps soft bouncing over several attempts, you should remove it too. Ignoring bounces tells ISPs you're not managing your list.
Right, another bad signal. Okay, so text good, list is clean.
What about the actual email? The words, the layout, how does content optimization help get past filters?
Filters analyze everything. They look for patterns associated with spam. So how you write and design absolutely impacts whether you land in the inbox.
Like those spam trigger words. Yeah, definitely avoid spam trigger words. The sources list classics like free, buy now, guaranteed, risk-free, act now. Using too many or using them in a really hypey way
raises flags.
Big time. The advice is pretty consistent. Write professionally, conversationally. Don't sound like a late night infomercial.
What about using too many images or maybe just one big image?
That's the optimized image to text ratio point.
Yeah.
Emails that are all image, no text. Very suspicious of filters. Plus, many people have images turned off by default, so they see nothing.
So find a balance.
Yeah. The sources suggest something like a 60-40 text to image ratio as a rough guideline. Make sure there's enough text for filters to scan and for people to actually read.
Subject lines, obviously key for getting opens, but do they impact deliverability itself?
They sure do. Keep subject lines clean. Misleading subjects, excessive punctuation, all a CPS. Classic spam filter triggers.
So keep it concise.
Concise is good. Under 50 characters is often recommended. Make it clear, relevant to the content, and definitely A/B test your subject lines to see what works and gets delivered.
And the call to action, the CTA.
Needs to be clear and relevant. Tell people exactly what you want them to do. Make sure it relates directly to the email's message and place it naturally. A good CTA encourages clicks.
Which is that positive engagement signal again?
You got it. It all ties together.
Okay, so you've done all this work. How do you know if it's actually working? And maybe more importantly, how do you keep it working long term?
That's where monitoring and analytics tools come in. You absolutely have to track your performance consistently. It's not set and forget.
What kind of tools are we talking about?
Well, the sources mention Google Postmaster Tools, which is essential if you send a lot to Gmail addresses. It gives you direct feedback from Google on your domain IP reputation, spam rates, authentication results.
Nice. Direct from the source.
Exactly. Then there's Mail Tester. This one's great for a quick check before you send a campaign.
How does it work?
You send your email to a unique address they give you, and it spits back a score almost instantly. Analyzing content, headers, technical setup, helps catch problems pre-send.
Handy. What else?
MX Toolbox is mentioned a lot. Great for checking if your domain or IP is on any blacklists, and also for verifying your SBF, DKIM, DRK ARC records are set up correctly in your DNS.
And the IP reputation score.
Yeah, sender score from Validity is a big one. Gives you a score from 0 to 100 based on your sending IP's reputation. The sources say you really want to aim for 80 or higher.
And obviously, your own ESP stats.
Absolutely critical. Your campaign analytics, open rate, click rate, bounce rate, unsubscribe rate, and especially spam complaint rate. These are your vital signs. Watching trends here tells you if things are heading in the right or wrong direction.
Okay. Now, we touched on this, but let's really underline it. The sources are crystal clear. Legal compliance. It's not just about lawyers and fines. It's fundamental deliverability.
It absolutely is. Ignoring laws like GDPR, CAN-SPAM, CASL. It's like painting a giant block me sign on your emails for ISPs. It signals irresponsibility.
Let's quickly recap the main requirements the sources highlight. GDPR for the EU.
Explicit, informed consent before sending. GAMP pre-check boxes. Easy way to withdraw consent. Honoring data requests. That's the core.
Can spam in the US.
Key things. No deceptive headers or subjects. Must include your physical postal address. Must provide a clear opt-out and honor it promptly within 10 business days.
And CASL in Canada.
Requires either express consent or implied consent. But implied consent has very specific rules. Clear identification of the sender. And again, an easy unsubscribe mechanism. The potential fines under CASL are pretty hefty too.
So boiling down the compliance best practices from these sources.
Get proper consent and document it. Have a visible working unsubscribe link in every single email. Always include your physical address. These aren't optional. They're requirements that also build trust and directly support deliverability.
Wow. Okay, we've really covered the landscape here, drawing from all the source material. From the big picture ROI and the core problem, through all the factors, the best practices, the deep technical stuff, list hygiene, content monitoring, and the legal framework. Let's try to crystallize the main takeaways.
Yeah, absolutely. First, I'd say, deliverability isn't just some technical side issue. It affects everything. Visibility, engagement, ROI. It's foundational.
Second takeaway. Getting the technical authentication right, SBF, DKIM, DRHR, is non-negotiable. It's your proof of legitimacy online.
Third, list quality trumps list quantity every time. A clean, engaged list is your best asset for deliverability.
Fourth, personalization and relevance aren't just nice to haves. They actively reduce spam complaints and signal value to ISPs.
Fifth, legal compliance is mandatory, period. Ignoring it is a direct path to deliverability problems, not to mention fines.
And finally, this isn't a one-and-done task. Good deliverability requires ongoing monitoring, regular testing, and continuous list hygiene.
And the sources really leave us with a powerful final thought, especially looking ahead to 2025. Optimizing deliverability, it's not really a competitive edge anymore.
It's just the cost of entry.
Basically, yeah. It's a baseline requirement. Inboxes are slammed. Filters are more aggressive than ever. Only emails that are seen as relevant, trustworthy, and technically sound have a real shot at consistently reaching the inbox.
It's a really clear message from this material, isn't it? Invest in the tech setup. Be ruthless about list hygiene. Focus on sending quality, relevant stuff if you do that.
Your emails actually get opened, read, and acted upon, not just delivered.
That's the goal.
Absolutely.
And that brings us to the end of this deep dive, really digging into your source material on email deliverability. We've pulled out the key insights, I think, from that initial mind-blowing ROI stat all the way down to the nitty-gritty of DMARC stock policies.
Yeah, it's clear the potential of email is still massive, but actually realizing that potential, it hinges entirely on getting past that inbox gatekeeper.
Well, thank you for sharing these sources and letting us unpack them. Now, for you listening, thinking about everything we've just discussed, what's the one thing that really stands out? What's the single most important step you think you need to take next in your own email practices based on this?
Yeah, and what question does this deep dive leave you wanting to dig into further about your own campaigns and your own deliverability? Something to think about.